The Gemara, we have a couple of odds and ends to tie up. The first was the question of Azuke Mazik Law. And here, you have a machlokas harishonim as to what it means, and those of you seen the ritual will agree. Have you seen the ritual inside? Do you yet agree with me? You still disagree? Okay, and he doesn't agree with you yet. Okay. So anyway, I'm just going to read the Ritva again. Rashi says, Ozuke Mazik, on Lamed Hei Amid Beis, Legufe, Ve'ein Zo Achila Shetuna Bracha, D'Gabei Bracha, Ve'achal Toksim. So if you actually read Rashi, Rashi says something. What does Rashi say, actually? What is Rashi's Svara? This is very interesting. It's not called Achila. Now, how do you know that something that someone is mazik is not considered achila?
Well, it doesn't say that it's not achila,
it's
bracha.
Right. Well,
the whole thing, I mean, how about
also one second. Hold on, I'm going to forget that. But let's go hold on that for a second. Rashi says, V'ein zo achila. Fine. Okay, does achila mean, what's the alternative? Achila shein tuna bracha is what? It means, apula means you put something in your mouth and you swallowed it. Okay, fine.
It might mean medicine, it might mean things that are bad.
Hold on, no, but here's where I don't want to go. In other words, Rashi didn't say, v'les lehana mine. He said, V'ein zo achila shein tuna bracha. Shenemar, a bracha v'achal poksiv. He doesn't say v'savata, that's one you asked. He just says if achal toksiv, this is not called achila.
It sounds like it's not called the achila that the Torah is referring
to. I'll grant you that, but what defines it as such? Why is it not called? So, there was another alternative.
It's strange
because even if you assume that berachas hamazon is limited to lechem. Even if you assume that, the notion of having other brachos acharonos is a matter of principle, is sort of a ke'in doraisa of that. It stems from that. In other words, the Torah creates it by birchas hamazon, and the chachamim have now expanded that into a broader category. So if it doesn't, if it's not something, for, you know, as an example, the Rambam writes that if you have bread that has turned moldy, I don't know how moldy is moldy, but you know, you can always get a little mold on top, it's kind of harmless. But bread can turn really, really moldy where you don't want to eat it. And someone eats it, so you make a shahakal on it, I think he says. What? So I'm sure Pash Yipsha is Roy Lachilas. It's Roy Lachilas Adam, but it's, I think you'd be chayv on Yom Kippur on it. It's not Mamashen Roy Lachilas, but it's no longer Pas. But if you were to go a step down where it's not Roy Lachilas Adam anymore, so you would say that even by Pas, you wouldn't make a brachon. There would not be Berchas Hamazon. Because it's not in the geder of Eochata, it's not normal achila. So by the same token, even things that don't require brachas hamazon, then is going to be the same for their bracha achrona. So it sounds from Rashi that, and maybe it's the same thing that other Rishon, the Gemara is going to say later, right? Why is it that you may... What? Bracha achrona. No. Oh, I see what you're saying. That talk is a good question. No, the question is, does Rashi think... So I could say the following for Rashi as well. Since we know that bracha achrona is midaraisa and bracha rishona in fact becomes a derivative. In other words, lachar shamanu lefana minolon. So Rashi is making an assumption that anything that you wouldn't have to give shevach on afterwards, you wouldn't have to make a bracha before. You know, that's a little bit of an assumption. I grant you, it's a little bit of an assumption, because the makor for brachas anen is not v'yachal tava savata; it's svara or something else. But not, so that makes Rashi even more puzzling. What would you have said if you had understood that ozuke mazik le means mazik himself? How would you have explained why don't you make a bracha? And if there's no hana, thank you, there's no birchas hanenin, right? That's very straightforward. And that's in effect what the Gemara says at the end of the next couple of sugyas, kevan isle hana mine boi beruche. It's funny that Rashi doesn't really formulate that. Maybe that's really what he means, but it's not what he says. Now, how do you explain the other position? How do you explain the Ritva's position? The Ritva says, Ida kashasi le perish beine azuke kamazik le perish haymaster Hashem nu b'chashiv kamazik v'lo chashiva hana klal. Now let me make one parenthetical note going back to Rashi. There is another makkah for saying that this is not that this is not called achila. How do you know when you eat something and it's damaging, it's not called achila?
Because you don't have to add a chomesh.
Because v'ish ki yochal kodesh, Ben said v'ish ki yochal kodesh b'shkaga prat lemazik. And that's why the Mishnah says that if you drink shemen zayis shel truma, you don't pay chomesh. Why? Because ki yochal prat lemazik. So you see that when you do something that's damaging, it's not called achila. What in effect the machlokas Rashi and I think the Ritva, because the Ritva quotes the drash explicitly, is what is the nature of the mazik there? Are you mazik yourself or are you mazik the food?
But who says that that's specifically not called achila? Maybe it's not called hana.
The iser is not hana from truma; it's achila. The ishki yochal prat lemazik.
Right, but if you're saying that it's like.
I'm sorry. It's from I think Baba Kama, late in Baba Kama. Is that right? There's more, probably more than one place. He quotes from Pesachim, but I believe it comes from somewhere very late in Baba Kama, Bab Mitzia. So. What?
What about
in
Yom Kippur? The
Inyan
there is just Inoy, so there's
really no. Advana in Yom Kippur, despite the fact that it's Inoy, not Achila, we say that Ochal, Ochlan, Shainim, Achila, Vishasa, Mashkin, Shainim, Lashasia, is Potter.
Why? And you're still going
there? Yeah. Yeah.
Is the issue
regardless of the only din, and maybe there are others that I'm forgetting, the only din that I'm aware of, that the fact that Yom Kippur is formulated with Inoy as opposed to Achila, that is different because of that, is the Shirim. Koseves, you have a larger shear of Achila in Yom Kippur and a smaller shear of drinking. Because they say it's dependent upon Yesuve Daita, being the Yashiv his Das.
What's the shear of drinking?
Malol Lugbav. Okay. It's in the Mishnah. Not a Revius. So in other words, the Gemara says that you chayav on less drink on Yom Kippur than you normally would, but you don't need Revius because that is Miyashe Das Adam. That soothes him, that restores him. But for Achila, you need more than a Kazayis. You need Kekosevas Hagasa El Chagari Nasa.
As you see, Shata Purta, it fills you.
Okay, Ezra?
I understand the Svara of saying that you're ruining the food for in the Truma context. But here we're talking about bracha. Who cares what? So I ruin a food. It's all about me and what I get from it. And so if I like it for some reason,
let me make the following observation. Does someone have 1 second? Can you give me a psachim? San Aleph. I need to see the original. See, if I'm not mistaken. Bab Metzia Tzadi Tes Amad Beis. Can you give me a Bab Metzia? Well, it is in Psachim. The footnote quotes Psachim. He doesn't quote anything.
He doesn't quote anything.
He just quotes the Drasha. Of Ishki Ochal Kodesh Mishkaga. The Ritva writes, Kedetanan Lagabe Chumad the Shalai Sakam Lachomish Perished Ein Chomish Alabinene, the Torah Amar Ishki Ochal Kodesh Prat Lamazik. The Gemara, I don't know if it says it in the context of Shos Hashem and Shel Truma, and arguably those are actually two different things. 1 second, let me just see what the Gemara says here. The Gemara doesn't say it in the context there. I would argue, and you have to check the Yerushalmi here, but that we're really talking about two different issues. One could say you're talking about two different issues. The Ish Ki Yochal Kodesh is not Prat Lamazik. It's not telling you that when you eat something in a hezekdik fashion, that you're potter. It's telling you the following: if I eat truma kodesh, truma I'm mechuyif to pay. Presumably, a major component of that is because I've done damage to the kohen. So you might think that the din would be the same thing as if I took his food and instead of eating it, I burned it. That's for ishki yochal kodesh prat lamazik. In the same sense, by hekdesh, if I steal from hekdesh, if I'm nene from hekdesh,
that's specifically hana.
So then I have a din of me'ila. What if I go and I torch property of Hekdesh? What's the din? The answer is Yipater. V'ish ki yochal kodesh prat lemazik. That's very different than this. This is a situation where you do achila, but perhaps, I would say the following for Rashi as opposed to Ritvan. Rashi makes much more sense. I would say that the it's not called achila because it's again, forgetting about what this guy is doing. Let's assume, I can't imagine for anybody, look, again, as I said, in a society of 300 million people, there are bound to be a small number of mutants, but, okay? But nonetheless, normally speaking, the Gemara assumes that it's not good for a person, it's very unpleasant for a person to drink olive oil. So therefore, whatever the person who did it, you know, and look, there are people anyway who derive pleasure from inflicting pain upon themselves. They derive some kind of psychological pleasure. There is such a thing as a masochist. Right, what's that? No, but I would say that the pleasure is psychological pleasure. It's not actually physically, it's repulsive, but the person is masochistic. So, again, I can't tell you that in someone whose taste buds are so strangely aligned that they like drinking their olive oil straight, but let's assume we're not dealing with that. So the point is, Rashi would say that it's not ishkiyoha kodesh prat lemazik. Rashi would say that this is not the form of achila. It's like Yom Kippur. It has to be mashkim haru'in l'achila, or l'shasiya, in a way that the ru'in l'shasiya. Shemin is not ru'in l'shasiya to drink it out of a cup. And therefore, if you do so, that's called Ein Aroi in the Shasiya. That's not called the Ochal Ta. The Ritva is much more difficult, because to say you're Mazik the Shemen, and therefore what? So what? That Ish Ki Ochal Kodesh Prat L'Mazik, that doesn't mean that therefore you're put on drinking Shemen not because you're Mazik the Truma, you're put on the drinking the Shemen because it's not called Achila. The normal thing you do with Shemen that's pleasurable, Sicha, that you're Chayiv on. But you're not going to be chayiv on shasiya, so it's very, the Ritva is very difficult. Unless what the Ritva means, and this is a little bit bizarre, that, and this is very big chiddush, that when you calculate whether a person gets hanoa out of achila, you have to calculate the total picture, not only the physical pleasure, but what it means in context. And since drinking olive oil fundamentally is a waste of a valuable quantity, oil was very valuable. Oil was much more valuable than shemen. You can see that from the. Than wine, excuse me, the yain, sorry. And you can see that from the Mishnayos and Bava Metzia that they with Ona and those sugyos. It's clear oil was much more valuable than wine, and therefore, when you take shemen and you drink it, it's incredible. It's a waste of resources. So
why would you pour the
dresha? What?
Why would you pour the dresha?
No, the Ritva, why does he quote the drasha? He wants the claim that when, it's as if he's reading the drasha, I don't understand, as if that when you eat it, but you're being mazik the food, but you eat it.
Yourself.
No, that's not what Ritva says, you're mazik the food. You're mafsid the shemen.
And that's why there's no
hana. And that's why, even though physically you might enjoy it, again, even though physically you might enjoy it, because the overall picture, even if you're physically enjoying the shemen, it's inherently a detrimental, it's a damaging action, it's a wasteful action, therefore you're potter. Shlomo?
Just correct the Ritva, on the first day of Sukkot, before you take off your esrog and shake it, and take a bite out of your esrog, and make a bracha. Because the overall picture is, once you take a bite, you can't use this esrog anymore. So the overall picture is that you're damaging the esrog.
Not allowed to do that.
No, first... I would just make the following distinction. There's a difference between something which in Mitzias is not Hana and that which halachically is not Hana. Okay? So the fact that you're not going to use it for Kima Mitzvah now, that's not... When we look at the picture, we're not looking at the fact that you have to go buy another Esrog. We look at the fact that if normally you would eat an Esrog. I don't know. I mean, Esrogim I don't think tastes very good, but I'm not in their current form. What?
I never did.
All right.
So just a question for if you drink shemen truma, then you're putter?
Yes, that's the Mishnah. The Gemara quotes that. That's the Mishnah in Trumas. So anyway, okay, so I just point out, yes.
I just don't get how that has anything to do with the bracha, though.
The fact that you mazik the truma.
Yeah,
me neither.
It should be about me.
I know. I'm not arguing with you. I don't understand that. I'm just trying to explain it, but it sounds like he says that Perush Hai Mafsid Hashem Hu Vechoshuv Kemazik. Eyal, again, I don't know how you can say the Nemazik Atzmo. Hove Mafsid Hashemen Hu Vechoshuv Kemazik.
This action is considered like Kemazik.
But that's not because he's mafsid the shemen. That's because it's terrible for him. But that's not what he says.
Because he's mafsid the shemen, he's mazik himself.
That's not what he says.
He's
proper. Oh, fine. I thought you were saying kemazik.
No,
but Rashi, when he says azuke mazik,
he's referring that he is being...
Fine, okay, then we agree on the ritual. Fine, now I understand. Shalom, he is sane. He hasn't lost it yet, okay? but the point is, it's not that it's a physical hanav. He's mazik his bottom line. So that's a tremendous chiddush that should...
I think it works better if you read the ritual like that.
Well, that's what I think the ritual means, but it still doesn't make any sense. Just because I damage my bottom line, therefore... But I enjoy the shemen, you know, and the...
At least you understand the ritual.
That's how I understood in the first place.
I'm saying that.
Now I understand how you were reading it. Now I understand you. Okay, so that is the correct reading. So we just weren't. I wasn't understanding you properly.
So you're reading the Ritva Azuke Mazik late to himself.
Yeah, you. Well, no, I don't.
He's damaging himself by being a mazik to himself.
I don't agree with Eyal. Actually, that's what he means. But I think it's plausible. I mean, it does. I don't think it matters. But I think that it probably, just the way he chooses to formulate it, it's hard to say when you mazik somebody, you mazik them, you mazik their property. I'm not even sure if it, you know, mabakach, but we agree on one thing. The mitzvah doesn't mean that you're being mazik yourself physically, bodily. Okay, that we agree upon. So I don't know, I'm not sure that he actually agrees with Rashi that ozeke mazik, that the law means actually the person, but either way, I don't care. It's six of one, half a dozen of another.
I think what might presume to say that is that the answer of idle hana, meaning what was the haba mean? Of course, if it's...
What do you mean isle hana? That's the maskana and a nigron. That's not in shaman, straight shaman. If that were the maskana and shaman, none of the mishonim could say you don't make a bracha b'chla. Most of them say you don't. Yeah.
I don't mean to stretch out the discussion of the ritva, but if the olive oil was someone else's and you would drink it, then you wouldn't be doing harm to anything of yours. Would you then say a bracha?
Well, yes, because you'd be chayav to pay.
No, it's like you sat on the table. You're a guest at someone's house and it's on the table.
And he says it's okay, you ask him.
No, I'm just... It's there, you know.
But it's not a pro. You know, if you go to someone's house, the assumption is you can eat their food on the table. But if they have, you know, a thing of fancy spices, that doesn't. It's not a heter for you to pour that on the floor. Right? That you'd still be a monster just because you invited to their dinner table.
That sounds like an off-meeting between your proposal and
your petition. Yeah, I understand. That's why he's proposing that. He wants to know what happens if it's not mass at my bottom line. So my answer, playing that game, is that it's a fair question. It's actually good. It's reasonable. Is to say that, but when you're mazik your friend, you're mazik your bottom line also because you're mechuyev to pay.
You say it's hefker oil.
Yeah, but then when you then
when you
then
you
I would say
when
then,
you
when, then you should
you
pick it up in mizocha in it.
No, it's like someone pours it into your mouth.
So you know, the alda apku al the rav yirmi and mibay midrasha.
That's not exactly what they do. I'm not
pouring.
Okay. Yes. You understood that line?
No.
Rav Yirmiya asked that the Gemara says if the in Bava Basra, if you find the bird within 50 amos of the shovach, the fledgling, so 50 amos, more than 50 amos, it doesn't go. So you find it within 50 amos, it belongs to the Baal Shovach. Outside 50 amos, it's hefker. So Rav Yirmiya asked, what if it's got 1 foot in, 1 foot out? And because of that, and they threw him out of the basement.
So they have to bring him back so we can answer the question.
Wait a minute.
Okay, and he was really trying to clarify, but anyway.
We ask questions like this all the time.
Well, questions, I forgot what they say somewhere about the Alda. I lay in the review of the Bein Midrash. It's something that they let him back in for. I remember. Anyway, okay. It's a fair question. I'm not going to, you know, yes, it would depend upon our machlokas. Jeremy.
Well, I think Eitan's question raises the more fundamental issue is either just according to Eyal's approach in the mitzvah or perhaps going to the mitzvah in general. Why, just because you're causing some sort of damage, does that make it... Therefore, you can't make a bracha?
I agree with you. That's why I think the ritva is difficult. Either way you cut it, I think the ritva is very difficult. Because the fact that it is mass at my bottom line... Listen, nobody would say, let's say... I mean, you read some of these things from a Musar standpoint. They're so frightening. The kind of ostentatious conspicuous consumption that goes on. These people go into restaurants, they'll order, I mean, this is on the cheap side, $800 bottles of wine, you know, and they'll, you know, there was some, you see occasionally on the web, like the $10,000 meal. I mean, it's disgusting. No, it's more than that, actually. It's disgusting, I think, from a moral perspective. I am... I give you permission to hog tie him and whip him after share. Okay.
Him too. What is this?
When he comes for Shabbos, make sure he gets no food. So
isn't it nice that there's so many different kinds of food that
I think that nonetheless we would say that if you're drinking that bottle of wine, you know, that you would make a bracha on it. Right, we went to the fact that you just went to the restaurant, you dropped $800, and your spouse is going to kill you.
You're supposed to with that bottle of wine, though, once you've bought it.
My point is, don't buy it.
You did.
Don't buy it.
It was a present.
Resell it and give the money to charity and hope it's a kapara for your stupidity. But Mistama, that person may waste their money anyway. Yours can go to charity. Yes. Anyway, but bottom line is the fact that something is for your bottom line bad does not mean that it's hard to find an example. But if you took your $800 bottle of wine, and Lu Yitzuya, that if you used it in cooking, that you somehow made a boy. We don't. But let's say you made a boy pregafen. Right? Let's say you used it in some type of a stew and you put a lot of wine in and enough to make the wine the ikar. Okay? But clearly you could do that with a $20 bottle of wine also and get the same results, right? Would you say therefore that with the $800 bottle of wine you don't say the bracha bar per guff anymore? I think the answer is of course you would. But again, I'm influenced, I think, to Rashi's mode of thinking. The fact, if it tastes as good as the $20 bottle of wine, if it's no lesser, so it is the ego, and you wouldn't make a boy per guffin. It was really stupid from a financial perspective. You should have just bought a $20 bottle of wine. Okay, so you're stupid, and you'll wind up impoverished, maybe. But at the end of the day, that doesn't mean you should make a boy per guffin. But that's, in effect, what the Ritva is saying. That's what the Ritva seems to be saying. And that might be true, you know, regardless of which either of our readings. This boils down to the same thing. Rashi thinks it's more intuitive. You look at the Masa Achila itself. Shalom and Michael.
The real question is, do you say after everything?
Thanks. Michael.
I think that you can say that even according to the Ritva, that wouldn't be a problem. Because there's not just Achila that's disgusting action. He was only disgusting about drinking that wine, the content of the wine, buying the wine, the fact that it costs so much, it's not an error to the Achila. As opposed to when you're doing the Shabbat, the fact that you're eating it this way, your Achila is what's disgusting.
Why is that? But he doesn't, but where does that go? The Ritva doesn't say that. But that we would say the same thing, by the way, and if you assume for the moment,
no,
again...
It's different, because they're the same thing. Meaning there, it's like, it's the nature of Shemen that it's expensive, and therefore, you're like, that's just... Somebody looks at you and goes, what are you doing? That's terrible.
If we're a bottle of canola oil instead that was, you know, a tenth the price, if Ben was somehow edible also like that, would you say, therefore, it's different?
Maybe they could also say, what are you doing? That's the wrong use. But it wouldn't, it's not necessarily... Maybe the river would agree that if
but they would say the same thing to you by the wine.
No, it's not the same thing.
They would say, what are you doing? They would ask you, what are you doing using that wine?
Not the same thing. They're just not the same thing. Because in one of them, the problem is that you're eating it. And in the other one, the problem is...
Shemen can be eaten. It just has to, you have to eat it the right way. But I think you're totally saying because nobody drinks olive oil, whereas, in other words, if there were two kinds of olive oils, and everybody drinking olive oil was normal, and you used the more expensive one, so you're saying to me that's analogous to wine, right? But nobody drinks olive oil. But the point is, so I agree with you, but that's Rashi's approach, not the Ritva's. You're right, intuitively they're different because nobody drinks olive oil. It's not like you're substituting one olive oil for another olive oil, but that's not what the Ritva says. I agree with you. You're 100% correct. That, in effect, is Rashi. You're just turning over and saying Rashi's viewpoint. What makes the olive oil, what makes it truly a waste that we won't make a bracha on it, is that it's inedible. It's part of the reason why it's a waste.
Maybe they can both say, they're both Rashi and Ritva will both say that's a terrible use of olive oil. Ritva would say that's what defines...
But why does Rashi say it's a terrible use?
Rashi says it's a terrible use of olive oil because that's bad for you.
Yeah.
Ritva says it's a terrible use of olive oil because you could use it. something so much better. But either way, it's a terrible use of olive oil unless it defines the plakot.
No, but according to the Rizva,
a bottle of wine is not the same thing. That's just that in the fact that you cooked it, right? That might have been super bad, separated from your offmeal.
Why?
Why is that separated? It's the fact that you put it into the pan. You didn't make a bracha putting it into the pan. But if there were a bracha putting it into the pan, you would not have made it.
I think it's splitting hairs now. I think so. Meaning,
I think intuitively they're separate. Wait, does everybody think it's crazy? I think they're not the same thing. That you're like 50%
I will not put the idea up for a vote because it's not nice for me to do that, and I'm afraid that you know there are those who choose to be machnev. So you can put it up for a vote, but I'm not going to. So this I don't hear the difference. I mean, it's almost like a difference without a distinction to me. I hear a little bit where it's coming from. I still
between the pouring
versus that the fact that it's you know cooked. I mean. It's the way you use it, and then
anyway.
In other words, the point is, you don't consume this wine. It does, again, I've created a hypothetical tavshil because you normally wine is used in cooking, but you normally it's normally not the ikar anymore. But I've created this hypothetical wine tavshil, wine stew, right? Which people would look at you and say, "What are you doing, eating, using a fancy bottle to eat in wine stew?"
You've already degraded it. You're now at the point where the filtration. Like before, when you put it in, it was expensive. No longer expensive. Just
Okay, I hear. I still find it hard to.
It's still not our
Bottom line is, I still find it hard to understand the position that says that when it's economically injurious to your bottom line, but not to your taste buds, that's called a hefsed that you don't make a bracha on.
It's the same. It's odd. You're looking at it saying that's terrible. Like that's a terrible thing to do.
Okay. Okay. I think Rashi. I still think Rashi's approach is a much much more intuitive approach. Yeah.
I think unless you say that. What they mean is that there's no hana in it. Unless you say that, then you should have the same problem even in Rashi. Meaning in Ritva, it might be a more extreme case.
Rashi would say the reason why there's no, the reason why it's not called achila is because achila means there's hana in the achila. Rashi does mean that, but he defines it.
He leaves it with uzuke legufe, that it hurts your body, and therefore, he doesn't say anything about.
I don't think Rashi's thinking about your cholesterol. In that case, it probably is good for your cholesterol. But I don't think Rashi's thinking about it. He's just thinking about it tastes terrible. It's azuke legufe. That's not achila. That's what I think what he means. And he says it, and if I would have just said birchas hanenin requires hana. Rashi says that when there's no hana, you know, like this case, it's not called achila by definition. But I think it assumes, it traces its way. Ultimately, it's got to make its way back to hana. For Rashi.
That's
what I'm assuming.
Isn't that the main chiddush of the Ritva anyway? The fact that the Ritva's comment shows that he thinks that drinking oil is good is not bad for you?
I don't
that's
know.
That's the main thing that's strange in the Ritva.
He
seems to have an essential difference of opinion with Rashi
as
because
the,
he thinks that
yes.
Drinking olive oil isn't bad for you.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't say it explicitly.
Oh, I see. The whole thing.
Yeah, I don't understand. You're right. I mean, that's correct. Why he doesn't jump on the take the obvious route, I don't know. Does that mean he thought it tasted good, Arlan?
Is Ritva saying that it's just a loss of kind of, you said the hesed, but is it kind of in reference to the person, like his
situation? Like, that's what it sounds
like.
I mean, he
like
doesn't.
A really rich person and he drinks 800 bottles of wine, it's fine. Like, it's not he's being bothered by it. You might say, but like for him, he's not.
I don't think it's subjective. I think since we would normally regard it as a waste, therefore it's not called. I think it's.
So it's purely wasteful, not being bothered by
yes.
The wasteful action.
Yeah, something like that. Michael?
And
then
okay,
what's the problem with the Akasa? Is the problem that it's obscene, or is the problem that you're not getting Hana?
You're not getting Hana. That's why, you're not chayiv if you eat something. He's referring to a case where you eat like a pig before Yom Kippur. You are so full that, and then Yom Kippur comes and you eat a morsel, continue to eat food, which is just, I mean, it's not just like, it's more
so
than overstuffing yourself. So you're not chayiv on that.
Right.
So
that
you're not mekayim. I mean, the truth is it's not, and by the way, there I believe I'm not mistaken, I think it may not be called achila again.
But, how about this? So that's why you're not chayiv for Yom Kippur, that's why I thought the mind was achila. What about it's usher in general, right?
Yeah, that's a
why
different issue.
Yeah,
it's about tashkes, it's a mius, it's a, you know.
Yeah, but there
why can't this be
what's that? There he mentions both.
Mentions
yeah, I don't know what to do. That's Bechlala strange Rashi, right? Shlomo points out, he found the Rashi in Yoma. Rashi on that issue said, on this issue says that on Yom Kippur, if you, what was the case? You drink shemen on Yom Kippur, was it?
No, I think it was Afilagasa.
That what you're putter because you mazik yourself and the food. Which is odd.
In other words, Baltas,
when you do it, what are you doing? Like, that's an insult to the food if it's on to yourself. It's not necessarily such a disparate idea.
I still find it okay. I just have a hard time sort of assuming. I missed the pun.
Hard to swallow.
Okay, so okay. Any time, Moshe, I'm sorry.
Is it possible that the Ritva simply accepted Rashi as it is and said, okay, there's another level. The fact that not only the fact that you're not getting hana out of it, so of course you're not gonna make a bracha because there's a zuki mazik. Not just because it doesn't taste good, because it actually probably would be harmful to you, but because, yeah, hey, by the way, olive oil is pretty precious, and you're kind of stupid if you're going
to
be...
He didn't quote Rashi at all. It does occur
maybe,
to me...
Maybe, unless it's that obvious. I mean, presumably, the Gemara is saying it, and without even giving it more of an explanation on it, they have to, per se, but that presumably was understood that if you were going to drink... Everybody understood that drinking olive oil, especially in large quantities, would make you sick. And so...
I'm not sure. There is actually one Mishnah that might support, though, the Ritva's position. That support his position would provide a similar notion. That thing that you don't... What? In the Mishnah. It's in the Mishnah. Which is? Excellent. Min klala. Think about it. In other words, it's not crazy that Rabbi Yehuda says, if I have a locust, the locust is perfectly delicious. Right? It's healthy, it's nourishing,
slimy,
low in cholesterol,
satisfied.
What?
Slimy and satisfied.
No, they're kind of crazy.
No, I think that's the exact opposite. It doesn't make a difference what you're using it for, but what its function is. It's the exact opposite.
No, Shlomo. No, Adarabba. The point is it very much palatable. What I invoke Rabbi Yehuda's min klala is to note that something beyond the food itself in isolation, your act of eating in Hana, can have an impact upon the bracha. In this case, you don't make a bracha for Rabbi Yehuda because locust comes typically as part of a plague. So...
I think it's exactly the opposite. Meaning locusts originally come as a plague. Even though you're using it for a positive function, it doesn't make a difference because its initial use...
It's a
destructive force. As opposed to wine, I don't care... Again, this really expensive bottle or this shemen is positive. I don't care how you use it.
No. What I'm saying is, when I look at something, I want to look at, how do I know that you can look at outside? In other words, I should look at what am I eating, and what kind of benefit or hana do I get from the eating? Not my bottom line, simply, is it good food? Do I enjoy it? Is there hanas, hagaron, hanas, mayayim, and so on. Now, when it comes to govai, Rabbi Yehuda says that even though there's hanas hagaron, and there's hanas me'ayim. Nonetheless, because the govai is associated with, whether generically or specifically in this case, you know, whether it came from a plague govai, you know, a plague of locusts, or whether there wasn't the plague, but it's associated with plagues, clearly what he's taken into account in deciding that there shouldn't be a bracha is something that's external to the act of eating and the physical pleasure derived from it. So in the same sense, again, it's not identical. You could hold one and not the other.
It's psychologically disturbed.
That this is, you know, connected, this is a destructive force. So in the same way, we would say that even though you might assume for the moment that the shemen is not mazik you, but because it's a waste of the shemen, it's mazik the shemen, even though that doesn't relate to the act of hana, hana's garn, hana's ma'ayim, still, the Ritva says that can have an impact upon the bracha.
But I would think that Rabbi Yehuda would view, if you want to fit this all together, then he would view eating a locust as, even though a locust is generally a destructive force, but look at what you're doing. You're taking this destructive thing, and it's no longer alive, and you're eating it.
You sound like a chassid.
No, Chassidish Machshava. Once you're not.
No, all I'm saying is that Rabbi Yehuda demonstrates is that factors outside the strict act of eating can have an impact upon the bracha. They're taken into account. It's not identical. What's that? Right.
That's
no, but that's different. That's because that's not the normal mode of the hana. So it's not yet called, in a sense, the pre-ha'etz. right? Because that's not what you normally have. But nonetheless, they say because you're getting, because it does taste, it is what it is, and that's what you're enjoying at the moment. So you do make a bracha on it. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, even though you might enjoy it, even though there's hana sagaron, nonetheless, external factors indicate that this is a bad thing. And even though you may be enjoying eating it, so as part of a broader picture, it's a negative, and therefore you don't make a bracha. So the Ritva would say the same thing here, that even though you might be enjoying the shemen, because as part of a broader picture, I'm not saying you have to hold both together at the same time.
Okay.
As part of a broader picture, you take into account the fact that it's essentially a destructive act, it's mastered your bottom line because it's a waste, even if you enjoy the shemen that way, and therefore you don't make a bracha. Okay, so there is a smach, at least, for the concept that things outside the immediate action of Achila of Hanas Hagaron are taken into account in brachos sometimes. Michael, and then.
So based on like the tires, and I understand why we just feel the Ritva, because you're assuming, because Tzachavim are definitely, we're definitely talking about the Chavis. Right, I know I'm not allowed to say that. So you're
no, I want to just clarify. You are allowed to say that as long as it's logically coherent.
Okay, so I think that the Ritva is talking about when. So you're picking up on the Ritva and saying because he's talking about the Shemin and the nature of Shemin is being expensive, you're assuming that that's a din of the Chavis, but I don't think so. I think that even the Ritva and Rashi are both getting off on the same page in the sense that they're both saying that the problem is with the Achila. It's a problem with the way he's eating it. It doesn't matter. The fact that the Shemin is expensive is not a problem because of the Shemin, as is the case with Chagavim. They're not comparable. The problem is the fact that you're eating it that way. Still, the eating is the problem. It's the problematic and disgusting part.
No, but the Ritva doesn't say that. He said you're mafsid the shemen.
And therefore, your eating is disgusting.
But why? Well, how does that follow? I don't understand. It doesn't follow. If you eat, so we would say if you eat something, treif, it's also disgusting. But you know, there's a machlokas there on the Raiva, whether you make a bracha on treif food.
That could be for a separate reason. But that's a separate reason.
My point is that, but you, by your logic, you should automatically conclude. Again, you could say the Ravid is the one who says you do just doesn't hold this Ritva. But we would say it's inherently disgusting. But we wouldn't order, if we said that you don't make a bracha it'd be because it's a mitzvah b'aveiro. But we're not. It's because it's botzei berech ni'etz Hashem, right? But my point is, I don't think.
You're saying the Chagavim are disgusting. Like, not disgusting because they're gross to eat. Disgusting because the whole concept of Chagavim is negative.
No, Chagavim is. There's nothing gross about eating Chagavim. It may not appeal to us because we never grow up eating it. Chagavim are tasty food.
So there's nothing wrong with the Achila. There's something wrong with the concept of Chagavim.
Correct. In the same sense, the Ritva says, it's not that your eating is inherently problematic.
If you're eating such an expensive thing in such a way, it's problematic.
Yeah, but it's not. It's not the hanas hagaron that's the issue. It's the effect that it's the external effect.
You're assuming that anything we say about achila has to do with hanah. Maybe that's not the case. Maybe it's just.
I think so. That's why it's birchas hanenin.
Maybe you can have hanah, but it's a disgusting achila. Not disgusting that it tastes bad. Disgusting that this action is ma'us.
No, but it's not inherently ma'us. No, it's not. Why, Aaron? You're further. I think you're going much further afield than he is. It is if it doesn't taste any good, like Rashi, I agree with you, not achila. But he's saying, grant the premise that olive oil tastes good. Yum. Okay, so now it's not achila.
I think that that's how you have to read the Rashi. I think you're taking the end of the sugya and reading it back into Rashi, because right here at this one it says Azuki Mazi. Rashi doesn't say anything about hana, but what he does say is it's not achila shetu na bracha. Which will mean,
I know, but what's his raya? You can't.
Yachalta. So which means,
But how do you know? That's circular reasoning.
It says v'achalta v'sarata
v'racha. No, he doesn't. No, excuse me. He doesn't quote the remainder of the pasuk. All he quotes is v'achalta, and therefore the hesper of Rashi has to be based upon v'achalta. How does he know it's not called achila? He can't tell me v'savato v'racha. If that were the reason why, he would have quoted the rest of the pasuk.
Then why does he need to bring in at all?
The reason why it's not v'ochal ta.
Why does he need to bring that? Why does he have to quote that?
Why does he have to quote?
He says achila shetu na bracha.
Because Rashi, just when he says it's not called achila, he doesn't want you to say, but you're eating it. So he says it's not called achila, which requires bracha, because it says v'ochal ta. Because achila in the Torah means something. Achila means davar aroi l'achila. You understand? That's understood.
But achila might. I mean.
And
you say it's necessarily hana'at, that achalta is necessarily from hana'at. That's the assumption that you're making, and maybe there's a lot of other criteria for achila. I mean, it has to be something that people normally eat, like olive oil. It has to be something that.
It has not, to be. What do people normally eat, Aaron?
Like, not olive oil.
What do people? What kinds of foods do people normally eat? No, I don't mean specific foods. What would you say the common denominator of these foods? Things that people enjoy eating.
Right. I'm not saying it's not logical. I'm just saying it's not necessary. It's not necessary.
Like a Negro.
Why should we twist Rashi away from the simple understanding that fits with his words? Why do I should bend over backwards? It's a davar pashut, azuki masik. Like he's masik, he causes nezek to himself, and
that's why. And the rest of the sugya does. But Rabbi, another example. What about I think it's Rosh Hashanah. But if you're forced to eat matzah,
yeah, kvo.
You say a bracha.
You yotze the mitzvah.
I think you say a bracha.
Unless it's kvo shade, in which case he's suffering a fit of insanity. He's not yotze at the time because he's a shota.
So is there hana'ah there?
Yes.
So now it's gone.
No, the hana of eating.
That's
why you yotze. Yes.
So wouldn't that be achila?
And there might be if you're refusenik on the mitzvah matzah, so there might be psychological pain that you end up fulfilling the mitzvah, but physically speaking, it's hana. It's like, listen, you know, would you say, I have a question for you. Let's say a person is obese. The doctor says if you have another devil dog, it's going to guarantee you're going to die within the next year. And the person has a devil dog. Do they make a bracha on the devil dog?
Maybe not.
Yes.
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 It's also eating. Unless you say it's a
dinner. I'm going to find out if it's a
food. No, that's a good
one. All right. You know. So let's say, I'm going to modify the example slightly, okay? This person is in a contest. If he loses a certain amount of weight, they're going to give him a certain amount of money, okay? And if he eats one devil dog, it's going to push him over the weight threshold, right? And he's going to be disqualified from his bout or something like that. But I'm talking about that what I'm saying is that there's... I just want to remove the element of issue here. So my point out to you, there can be things that are externally harmful to you that any person would say, Meshuggah, why are you doing it? You would have just won $1,000 prize if you would have just not eaten this devil dog. Would you say, therefore, you shouldn't make a bracha on the devil dog?
Are you saying if you're Meshuggah because that's the akhila itself is a problem, or in the broader context is a problem? I don't think Sakhabib is a riot to a broader context. Sakhabib is a riot to an outside source. There's nothing to do with the akhila as a separate.
And so would this devil dog be, right?
It's like saying that you can't put...
No, but that's a personal case. If in the world devil dog attacked our crops, then that would be the same thing.
You just created a kula that you don't have to make a bracha on junk food anymore. Okay. Anyway,
not food.
Wait.
I think that this horse has been beaten to death enough that the ASPCA is going to be chasing us after us soon. So what you're... I'm not disagreeing. Fine, I hear that this perhaps another tzad. It doesn't sit well with me in the sense. It doesn't appeal to me that particular approach. But I hear, okay. Eyal. That's okay. It's okay to have a machlokas, and you may be right and I may be wrong. I just don't. It doesn't. The svar in that sense doesn't speak to me. I thought you were going to actually say something which you could have said in this context. The difference between a govai and the devil dog is that the govai is a din in the cheftza. You just almost started to say it before. It's inherent. Anybody looking at it because we're supposed to. The devil dog is situational specific, right? But in that sense, I could argue that the shemen, since all people would be masik, essentially it's masik the baral line. It's also a din in the cheftza, right? Shemen because it's universal. Is the nature of achila shem, and it is a sort of a din in the cheftza. It's not that shemen can't be consumed in any context, but shemen b'fnei atzmo, not mixed in, not as part of something else, also may be a din in the cheftza, no different than the gavai.
That'd be true too. Well,
and that's what you've been saying. So that's what I wanted to say both Rashi before saying, even though Ritva seems to be talking about.
So you want to say, okay, so you never said it.
I'm sorry, I
never said it. No, you couldn't. You could say that's what the Ritva holds, that the cheftza of shemen in itself is enough to eliminate the bracha. Right, I could argue on the other. Okay, so then I see. All right, well, but you could construct the argument that probably the other, according to Rashi, the effect is that it's masnik the gavra. Right, as the Ritva, but the only problem with that is what's that?
You want to say because yeah. Talking about the economic.
No, I thought you wanted to say. That's what I thought you were going initially. But the truth is, even with the shemen, it doesn't work so well because the shemen can be consumed in many positive ways, just not b'fnei atzma.
So it's right with the achila and what's happening here and not the shemen apparently. currently.
No. But you never make a bracha in those other contexts, is the point.
For unrelated reasons, the fact that Tavel.
No, we all agree. Less mandapolig that you don't make a bracha on the shemen when you eat it in this way. The question is why. So that I'm. For Rashi, I think it's a davar pashut that when the mode of the achila is inherently damaging to you, right? According to the Ritva, you're going to say that even though you enjoy the shemen because it creates a hafsed in another context, therefore the achila is mos.
That's exactly what you were saying about the bottle of wine.
And I agree on the bottle of wine, you would make a bar pir gefen. That's my point. No one would say that you don't make a bar pir gefen on it. I'm sorry? That
could also be constructed good taste.
Well, I think that... okay.
I think if you had constructed a more parallel taste, then we wouldn't necessarily...
Yeah. You think for the Ritva, you wouldn't say the Brach. I find that... Okay. Okay.
And for Rashi. Oh, no. Yes. No, not for Rashi.
Okay. Well argued.
Can I quickly just try to explain that maybe the Ritva is really... He's looking at the bright... He's looking at the bright, though. Mm-hmm. And, like, Rashi of Chumash, that you're not paying Chumash. So Rashi sees that the reason you're not paying Chumash is because it's lav bar achila. But the Ritva...
Rashi is not interpreting that Braisa. Rashi doesn't quote that Braisa. Does he?
The Gemara
doesn't quote the Ishki Yochal Kodesh Bishkaga.
I know. I'm saying
the bright.
So that's the point.
The Ritva...
Rashi, first of all, Rashi does quote it, but it's not his main... That's not his main thing. I mean, he quotes it just to show that it's lav bar achila.
Correct. Not that it's a shumazit.
Exactly. But the whole point is the Ritva takes this and he connects it to the drush.
Yeah, I said that. Yes.
Oh, but that's what's pushing it. So
I understand. I said that. I think I said that from the start. I'm saying why link the two?
So
the Gemara never links the two. The Gemara says it's mamish shumazit. Not that I eat it and it's a hezik dika eating. Of course, why does the Ritva...
It
Who quotes this Braisa?
The Gemara.
Which Braisa?
Oh, of...
Not the Braisa of Kishiyochak. The Gemara doesn't tie it together. I want to know why does Ritva tie it together?
Because the Ritva thinks that that's the reason why you don't pay Chumash.
I understand, but I'm asking that's crazy. The reason why is because it's not called Achila. Not because it's Mazik. It's Ochal Ochlam Shenem Rim L'Achila. That's why. That's not what you do with Shemen. Not because it's mazik
the
shaman.
The bride itself proves that by saying if you did sicha, you learned.
He disagrees on that point.
I agree with you. What I'm challenging is the whole logic behind that. That's my whole issue.
You're not asking a question on him from this Gemara. You're asking a question on him from that sugya, the sugya of Chumash, of why he's not paying Chumash. I mean, it all stems from there. Your real question on the wrist is how is. The real reason he's not paying homage because it's not bar achila, not because...
Correct. That's what it boils down to, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's more exacerbated in the sense that by Birchas Hanenin, in other words, since, again, if you assume that there's a gzeres akasa that when something is mazik, by definition it's called achila, so you transfer that concept of the Birchas Hanenin. But that's a strange... Yes, it's strange to assume that in the first place.
Maybe the Ritva says that it thinks that there's no source that a mazik is putter from paying homage. I mean, sorry.
A mazik's putter from paying Karen.
That's not bar achila.
Okay. Anyway. Marlon. This will be the last question I entertain on this particular topic. Okay. It's not that I don't appreciate it. I think it's important. The Shaka Tari is very good, and I'm very glad that people are participating. That is the... You may hear me make this comments about 73 times this year, but I'll say it anyway. If I come into Shir and only I talk, you might learn something, I'll learn nothing. So when we have a conversation like this, I learn something too, often a lot. Yes?
Is it the Ritva's assumption that you don't take any enjoyment from drinking the oil?
I have to assume, based upon what he says, is that you do enjoy drinking the oil.
If that's the assumption, then why is it... If there, it's not necessarily a better use than to put it to something else if you're taking enjoyment of it. If you have multiple things that you can use it for... And you value this one just as much as that.
It's a very all I can say is it becomes
it's
a very expensive... It's an expensive habit.
It's not an expensive habit, then, because, like,
if you take the enjoyment.
But it is compared.
That's the difference between.
What's that?
Between the case
that's
of,
a very good point. So you're also not enjoying it because if you were enjoying
right.
it, so then okay, it's
right.
expensive and you're enjoying it.
It's like you have a limited amount of material.
But the problem is he doesn't say that. Then he should have said Azuge Mazikley should have been Atzmo. Finished. We should have been back to Rashi. My problem is, if you look what the Ritva says and what he doesn't say that he's not enjoying it. And you have to explain why things still you don't make a bracha on despite the fact that you might like it. So the answer is because from an objective perspective, it's wasteful. You're a mishugana. You happen to like this olive oil for whatever reason. You're strange. But nonetheless, from anybody else's perspective, from an external perspective, right, it's wasteful.
Just as the last thing we were kind of talking about how the Bira Alaka said it's all based on the individual. I mean, surely that's
you have to look at each one's Alaka context. That has to do with whether or not you'll be able to eat matzah at night, and that just depends on whether you'll be able to eat matzah at night. Right? The Gemara has an expression that you can't learn me divrei Torah the divrei sofim and divrei sofim and divrei Torah me divrei sofim and divrei sofim. You can only make a kesher between divrei Torah and divrei Torah.
I understand that there's definitely a
okay.
jump, but it seems like that kind of logic is attuned to what we're dealing with.
Okay.
I just want to point out, not to ask more of a question, but that I would think that Ozuki Mazakar really refers to its effect on the body, not enough taste. Because I think there are people who taste olive oil for testing the quality, and I don't think they're averse to olive oil.
People don't taste olive oil by drinking a cup. They'll put a taste
right.
on their tongue. That's not the same.
But
why did the Gemara invoke that as the example? If that's normal,
it's not achila.
Because it's te'ima, and te'ima doesn't require bracha. Some Rishonim say the Rambam says te'ima does not require bracha even if you swallow. In other words, right. Well, that's not called te'ima anymore. I don't think we hold this. I'm pretty sure we don't accept this Rambam. I know my personal practice when I make my son strawberry milk, so I always, I take a spoonful to taste, A, because it tastes good, and B, to make sure that there's enough strawberry syrup in it. And I say, you won't complain if there's not enough. What? No, I make a shakal on it.
I always spit it out to get out of
my okay, I'll make a shakal on it. I don't think we accept the Rambam's position. What's that? But that's true in every that's true in every te'ima. In other words, when you taste something, if you want to taste it, it's good, and you swallow it, typically because you like it. In other words, you do enjoy it. It's not your primary purpose in tasting. So I ordinarily don't go over and make strawberry milk for myself. I don't go over and make one spoonful or whatever else. But in this particular case, I'm making it for me anyway. So and I need to taste it. So I enjoy it at the same time. But that for the Rambam still you wouldn't make a bracha.
Really?
Yeah.
Happy
if I didn't like it, I'd spit it out.
Not necessarily. You don't like sour in anything. Like if you're making chicken soup all the day, you don't necessarily want to have chicken soup now. Don't taste bad. Swallow it. Like, it's good. It's not like...
I think most people, put aside the fleishig system, it doesn't help you probably with tima anyway. I think most people would swallow the spoonful. Why waste that shit? Enjoy it. But still it's tima.
Just stop, not because you're like...
I think, by the way, that the Rishonim disagree with the Rambam are, in effect, adopting your argument, saying that it's not called te'ima when you swallow, because if you swallow it, you're getting hana, and you want to get hana from it. If you really didn't want it, you would spit it out. In other words...
You never know
enough,
when you're swallowing
it's
the time
zero,
you
okay,
it
when we get to te'ima, we'll discuss it further. I just...
while we're talking about that, is when we say
No, we're not talking about... No, we're not talking about...
Not te'ima. When we say you're getting hana, that's sechila, we're not talking about hana satam. We're talking about hanas hagaron.
Yeah.
Which it doesn't mean the flavor necessarily.
Well, it has to be the flavor has to be palatable also.
Yeah, but it's something more than that. Hanas hagaron.
No, I think it's just an extreme form of it. On what?
Castor oil.
It's taken as medicine, isn't it?
Yeah, you drink it.
I know. No, you don't make bracha.
But if something tastes good, like when you say hagefen on diamond or shakal.
I'm sorry?
You can drink diamond. I mean,
what counts as Dimetap? Dimetap versus
Dimetap.
It might
be cough medicine with lots of sugar in it.
Your kids, they don't
have
Dimetap
anymore. Well, then,
it's this thing for a cold.
No, I don't think I my sense is, and we'll eventually we'll get to this in halacha. Then their parents should be arrested. They're now recommending, I think, against giving kids any cough medicines. They've just changed that, yeah. But putting that aside, I think generally the following is the policy. I think for brachos purposes, when you have medicines like that, I don't think we make brachos on them. We do have an issue when it comes to, let's say, Yom Kippur. There's a different, you know, if medicine, if you have ibuprofen that's not chewable, you know, it's not, then there's no issue at all in Yom Kippur. Whereas if it's chewable, something that's chewable, then it's a problem. But I don't think we make a bracha on that.
Why would we make a chewable?
I don't know. That's a good question. And maybe I'm wrong, but to be continued when we get to that, okay? Yeah.
Ben just said, how do you respond to that? It seems to say that the Hanah, right, Kivan, the Yidah Hanah, mean that by weekend, it's not talking about the taste bar, it's not talking about how it relates to your physical body.
No, that's not true at all. A Nigron is a food. But you sometimes do it because you want that Nigron, sometimes you do it because you want the refuah.
You're saying that the Maskana of the Gemara is because your taste buds.
Correct. Absolutely. No question about that. The Maskana of the Gemara is that since, in other words, we don't, if you drink the olive oil straight up for a Negron, you wouldn't make a bracha on it, you know, according to,
even though
it's, if you're doing it for refuah purposes. Now, but normally when swallowing it, you would gargle and spit it out. But the point is, by a Negron, which is a food and people do eat, and it's enjoyable, so for some people, so when you do it for the purposes of refuah, when you do it for the purposes of refuah, so then the shemen becomes the ikar, and that therefore you make a bray praise. But when you do it for the purposes of achila, not for four, then the anigron is the ikar, and you make a bray praise dama.
Unless you pour in a lot of oil.
Or shakal, whatever, maybe bray praise dama.
To what you just said, is if you're doing for refuah and only drink shemen, and you don't like it, it has a bad taste, right? But you still make
it. No, you don't. You don't make a bracha.
So how come, why do you not make bracha if
because there's no hanas hagaron.
But now we're switching, because before we said it was for hanat. I'm talking about for refuah.
I for refuah purposes, if there's no hanas garon, you don't make a bracha. If there is hanas garon at the same time, you do make some bracha. Now, in the case of a nigron, when it's hanas garon, the only question is what bracha do you make? So it depends why you're drinking the nigron. If you're drinking it as food, you make either shakal or bray pradam on the nigron. If you're drinking it for refuah, so because there's hana in the action, you make a bray praise because the shaman's eyes is the ikar.
Okay, so if it's not for refuah, then why would you make a bracha?
Because a Negron, no, who's, you do get Hana, a Negron is food, it's a drink, it's a beverage. What? You wouldn't make a bracha. That's the whole point of the Gemara. Rambam aside, most Rishonim say that when you drink olive oil straight, you don't make a bracha. The Rif, I think, here's one case, Ed, I put this on your list of explicit machlokes in between the Rambam and the Rif.
What Rif said which?
I think the Rif says, Beferish, you don't make a bracha on it when you drink of an atzma. The Rambam says you do. The Rambam Perenches, I think, Halacha Beis of Hilchas Brachos. For those who are on the Rambam program, that was today's Peren. I wasn't speaking to you. I didn't mean to. But I believe the Ritva says, V'yishasi le'mishtiya azuke mazikle v'lo mevarech alei. Ritva on Samach Zayin Amid Aleph in the new pages, but in the old pages, the standard reading, it's on Chaf Hei Amid Aleph, it would appear. Okay, so anyway.
In the Havamina of the Gemara, when that says you wouldn't make, in the Gemara in the Sogya of the Chitim, it says you wouldn't...
We haven't got to the Sogya of the Chitim yet.
Okay.
I don't know anything about that.
The sugya,
I plead ignorance.
The Havamina says that you wouldn't make a bracha because you're going to cause pain to yourself by exciting the worms. So that means that it's not based on the right now. It's based on the later effect of your eating the food. And then they say, no, you're getting hana anyway, so you make a bracha.
Correct.
It's another case for the Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim principle.
It was a Hava Mina, though.
Yeah, but there's no guarantee that you're going to get the worms.
I think the worms already exist. But
yeah,
okay.
You might disturb the worms.
No,
they don't.
Olive oil will definitely.
But it will taste good.
Have you ever tried? Has it been experimented?
No,
what?
If you eat large quantities of it, pure fat will You'll overload your system with fat, and your body can't handle it.
With even fat like olive oil, which is a really good fat.
It doesn't matter. Even if the fat is self-healthy, sort of in, compared to, let's say, other types of fat, but it's
well, but how much olive oil do you have to drink to
drink
that?
I have no idea.
Well, he's going to come back and tell me you got to drink a gallon.
If you ingest too much fat, I mean, it's very common.
Okay.
And that's what happens. You say it's common.
Okay. Anyway, enough. Okay, fine. So the Gemara. Let's try at least go on to the next thing. I want to read through Kim Chadachite. Okay. I think, by the way, all the numbered discussions that we're going to have now, by the time we get like 5 lot into Peret, there'll be nothing to discuss. We'll just zip through the last 4 lot. So. Okay. We'll figure out everything by then. Fine.
Solve the world's problems.
What's that?
It is why Elijah, she was the one.
Torah hiu lalim baranu tzrichim. Go ahead. Who's reading for me? Nobody yet.
I'll read.
What's that? You've read already.
I did when?
Early in this month.
Beginning.
I want a volunteer who hasn't read. I'm going to show you. Want to read?
I have.
What?
I have.
Sure I did.
Who? Marlon? Go ahead.
Okay.
Starting with Kimcha Dechite. Boys, do not try this at home. And men, excuse me. Boys and men, do not try this at home. What was that?
Especially the barley farm.
You're the boys?
I don't want to at least call the married men the boys, so.
Yeah.
Most of you are of drinking age already anyway, so we call you men. Okay, go ahead. Marlon, go ahead. Okay, just a comment we have not spoken about, just be aware of it. I'm not going to elaborate now. The Nusach of the Bracha, Shehakol, while it's a Machlokas, Svardim and Ashkenazim. It's a Machlokas between Svardim and Ashkenazim today, typically. Svardim generally say Nihiyah, and Ashkenazim say Nihiyah. What's the difference between the two? So here, the way you remember, I remember, it's a question of whether or not it's past or it's a participle, you know, a Hoveh. And remember that in a normal Abnifal, Nif'al, the patach is the past tense and the kamatz is the present. So remember by this that the kamatz is reversed. So Nihiyah came into existence. Nihiyah is literally comes into existence. It happens to be these two. In the case of this verb, it actually means the same thing. It effectively does. The word Hayah has that funny thing where it really makes no difference whether you translate in the past or in the present. It comes out to mean the same thing. Based upon the tzura, the matbeah, or the brachos, the truth is in this case, the Ashkenazic version would. At least at first glance appear to be correct, because it's always borei and motzi. It's always a participle, so you would expect it also to be nihiyeh, which is the participle, but it's not absolute raya. Okay. But nonetheless, machlokas is what it is. So you say shakol nihiyeh bedvaro. So what is kimcha dechite? According to the Gemara. Simple reading of the Gemara is what, Marlon?
So it's like the wheat of, and the flour of wheat.
Wheat flour. Okay. So the machlokas is whether you make a repair dhamma or shahakal. Now, what happens in response? Amar lei
Rabba, the Rabbi Nachman, lofi plog aleya, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yochanan.
The Rabbi Yehuda. Don't argue on Rabbi Yehuda. Now, by the way, what's the relationship between Rav and Rav Nachman?
Rav is the Talmid of the Talmud.
No, Rav, student of Rav Nachman.
Is Rav Nachman second generation of Rav?
He's in between, but he calls Rav Nachman third, really. Second, third, but third.
He's much older.
What's that?
I think Rav Yehuda is older than
him. Rav Yehuda second generation. Rav Nachman is
like second and a half. I mean, they interact all the time.
Yeah. So Rav tells his Rebbe, don't argue with them. Don't argue with him, because Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan held that way. He argued with his Rebbe. He told him, you know, respectfully, obviously. Okay? Because we can't imagine anybody arguing with their Rebbe, right? So, anyway. So, the Amar Rabbi Huda.
Amar Rabbi Huda, Amar Shmuel, Lechen Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shemen Zayt, Mevarachim Alav, Borei Pri Ha'etz.
Okay, so they didn't argue exactly on Kimcha Dechite. What is Kimcha Dechite? It's wheat that you grind up. So therefore, what's the analogy?
Oil.
Oil are olives that you grind up. Okay?
Except at the end of the Yerushalmi.
They actually did do Katusha also, but it means that you basically convert it.
Completely different process.
I know. But you convert it. Basically, you take one. I agree. One leaves the entire thing there. One of them extracts. But ironically, which would be the stronger case for retaining the original bracha? The one that leaves the original thing there. So it's a kal v'chomer. So it still fits. His question still fits.
Which one leaves the original there?
The wheat flour.
The flour. You grind up the wheat kernels. It's all still there.
No, you get rid first your zora and whatever. You take off the...
Or
no.
That before it.
No. But the point is that hakosis es achita is not the stalk. It's a kernel. Kosher sechita makes a bari adama. The fact that you now go and you grind it up in the flour, it's all still there.
And when you crush an olive,
you take the oil.
There's a large amount of the olive, what they call a gefes.
What do you do with that?
You burn it.
You burn it.
Oh, you burn it.
It's very bitter. That's what the Mishnah. That's what gefes is. Gefes, I believe, is Rashi says psoles sozesim in the Mishnah and Kira. Kira shisikur v'kashu v'gvaba versus begefes uva eitzim. So gefes is the psol, Rashi is the psola shel zesim. Okay, so now the Gemara says, afogav d'shtani b'milsei koi. Even though it was changed, it still stands, it's an original davar, its original state. So now, either the Gemara or Rav Nachman responds, Midami,
Hatsam Leitle Aluya Akrena. Haka Eitle Aluya Akrena Bepat.
Okay, so here it has an Aluya Akrena, namely bread. So we have to work out the details here, but does Chita have an Aluya Akrena?
Chita.
Yeah, so why do you make Adam on Chita? Because it's a Chita.
You're already not changing it.
It's not
natural. So you say it's natural. Okay. Fine. So you'll say that you know, you'll say that yotza mechlal chita aval lechlal pas lo ba.
That's exactly what the Gemara says.
It would be the same thing like making halitz on grapes.
Right. What's that?
It'd be like this making the halitz on grapes.
Yeah.
Or on crushed grapes.
No, I'm saying stop.
Grapes, of course you say
that. I understand. Like why chita? No, I understand that, but my point is that why is it gora? So the answer is you'll have to say that it's nishtana, but it hasn't reached its final state. Okay.
The truth is that you could have a gara like that.
What's that?
It doesn't make sense that it's gara. Why? Just because it's sort of an in-between state, therefore it's...
So the answer is that it's no longer called pre-hadama, because it's no longer like it once was.
But it's not yet in its final state.
But it's not yet the way the situation where you're going to make hamotzi or mizonos.
It's sort of in limbo, and therefore...
Therefore, you make shakal, because you get enough from it, so you make a shakal.
I mean, the fact that flour itself is nishtana la griusa is not necessarily obvious, but you can have a parallel with other things also besides oil. And you, let's say you did take grapes and you crushed them, you can have a nishtana liluya or la griusa. You could get wine out of it, or you could get vinegar. And vinegar, some people would say you don't make a bracha maybe, but
the
Tosefta said you make
shakal
on that, just the same way you'd make on Moria.
Right, well, it's because it's nishtana l'griusa.
So it's nishtana and it's nishtana l'griusa instead of nishtana l'iluya.
Right, but I wouldn't. No one would say that the flower is not nishtana l'griusa. It's just nishtana, but it's
right,
not.
So,
but it's not pas yet. And still, that's enough to remove it from its bracha. Right, from the Tosefta, you only see things that are nishtana l'griusa. Okay. So now the Gemara says, question? I'm sorry, end the statement. Okay. No, it's a question. Is that true of Amar Rav Zera?
Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav Matna, Amar Shmuel,
Asher Akara Chaya, Akara means Al, Al Kara Chaya,
the Kamka Dishari.
So Kara is, what is Kara?
A
gourd. And a raw gourd or barley flour, yum. So you make a shahakal. So my love, what can you not be medayik from that? The
my love the chiti
gore
piadama. Love the chiti nami shahakal ni gore.
Now one comment here, there is something a little bit odd in the Gemara here. What's odd about the way the Gemara formulates the question?
Expected to bring
Excellent. The Gemara doesn't make sense in asking the question this way. The kasha is not, it doesn't matter what svara you offer for Rav Nachman. Whatever svara you come up with for Rav Nachman is going to be wrong. In other words, it goes like this. The Gemara says that the Psak Halacha on Shmini Atzeres is Yesuve Yasvina Baruch Elam Avrachinan. Whatever Hesber and Lamdas, and I've heard many try to be given. Now, a Lamdas Hesber, not let's say, claiming that Mitzias has changed maybe is one thing, but it may be irrelevant, but any Lamdas Hesber you give as to why some don't sit in the Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres is wrong by definition. You see from the Gemara that whatever Svar you came up with is wrong. Right? Because the Gemara could have known that Svar too, and it rejected it. By definition. So the bottom line, the same thing is the problem here. If you had a raya from another context, where even though something hasn't, in other words, Rav Nachman has explained his statement by saying that and differentiated kimcha dachite from shemen zayis because kimcha dachite has iluya acharina, and therefore, and let's say it's nishtana but isle iluya acharina. So if you want to disprove it on the basis of the fact that even if it has in Liyachwina, you still make the Bari Pri Adama, you want to find something else, not Kimcha Dachite, that has an Liyachwina, and still you make a Bari Pri Adama, or make the original Bracha. But what is the proving? What is the Gemara proving the case from against Rav Nachman? From Kimcha Dachite. You don't, so whatever Svara, you don't need to spell out what the Svara behind Rav Nachman is. Whatever Svara Rav Nachman held is wrong by definition. Again, based upon the current diuk from the Braisa. The diuk is that you make a Shaka on Kimcha Desare, but Mashba that you make a Bori Pri Adama on Kimcha Dachite. So whatever Svara you have from Nachman is wrong, because Rav Nachman said Kimcha Dachite is a Shaka, and the Braisa says Kimcha Dachite or implies Braisa the Kimcha is a Bori Pri Adama. Period. Doesn't matter. You don't have to say V'chi Islay, you should just say Meisvei. Straight out. You don't need to give this svar for now. Just disprove it from a braisa. Shlomo? Shalom?
The problem that I think is that
if
you wrote a svar wrong, because he's trying to make a klobachomer from...
Yeah, it is backwards klobachomer.
...barley, I guess, onto wheat. But it's not a klobachomer. You'd have to say it's... It should be at least
shahat. It's not a klobachomer. No, agreed. The Gemara, that's why the Gemara rejects the diuk. But if the Gemara, it only rejects the diuk because, again, the Gemara should have taught us the liminal cases. If there was no havamina to make no bracha on Kimcha Desare, it would have been a good diuk. We always make a diuk. We make lots of diuk from the braises. They're not kavachomers, but they're based upon the assumption that you teach us the liminal cases. So if Kimcha Desare was a davar pashut, you know, if you had a Mishnah Shlema that said Kimcha Desare, you make a bracha, you make a shakal on, and then you had a braisa like this, the raya would have stood. It would have been shifted to Rav Nachman. Because there's no need to tell us Kimcha Desare, if not to tell us, and not Kimcha Dachite. But since we come up with an answer that says, no, I have to tell you the liminal case is Kimcha Desare, because I would have thought that you don't make a bracha at all on it, so it's not a kavachomer, but it's a diuk. It's a standard type of diuk that the Gemara makes. So the Gemara thought, my love, Kimcha Dachite, you make a bari pri adama. So the Gemara answers, no, it's not a good diuk, low. So then the Gemara asked the question, but
the Lashminan
defiti, if chite, you make a bori pri hagefen on, then sare, then saorim, if chite, you make a shakal on, then sakabachon, you make it on a shakal on saorim. So why do you have to tell us, why tell us saorim? Tell us chitim. If in fact the din by chitim is shakal. So the Gemara says, now, iashmi'inan. Sare, it's Seorim. Sare, yes. It's Seorim, same word. Alright, so not you. We would have thought that, you know, that on Kemach Seorim, you wouldn't make a bracha at all. So Kemach Malon, because remember that Seorim is Macha Behema. So even regular Seorim is Macha Behema. Don't ask, we have it in our children, but okay. But they regarded Seorim as Macha Behema. So you would have thought that you don't make a bracha at all. So Kamash Malon the Braisa. The reason why it teaches you that Kemach Sorum is a Shahakal is not to teach you the Diuk, not so you should be Medayit that Kemach Chitim is Bari Pri Adama, but just so that you know that you have to make a bracha on Kemach Sorum. You would have thought you don't make any bracha at all. So then the Gemara says, Migara.
Migara nemela bezamis.
What is zamis?
Dry.
Rashi says something like that. Other.
It says it's some kind of soup. Is it soup that's
mikrash? Yeah, yeah. It's it means like coagulated soup. Yeah. Yeah, it's the stuff you skim off the top.
He says it's related to zuamai.
Zura is the listeron. It's the stuff you skim off the top. Yeah.
Or zuamai listeron meaning the thing, the spoon fork thing, like in Bava Metzia.
No, I'm thinking in Pesachim actually in
Zuhal, this one half is
like over, and I thought the Zuhama, well maybe I'm mixing two terms together, but the Zuhama is the stuff that floats to the top, the garbage.
The Zuhama Listeron is something totally different.
Is that a skimming code instrument?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's an instrument for skimming the stuff.
But the fine. One half is, and the other half is a fork.
Fine.
It's the cool.
I think it's the fat, probably.
I said fat only because when
I think, and fat, you know, right, and I think it's
the,
yeah, it's not very good. So migar machtetnan ala melech falazam is omer. Go ahead.
Omer shakol mi'evi
barav. No. Itzrich still. Itzrich. I still need to teach you this. Salkadai techamina.
Melech zamis abi finish desari letumai.
I don't know about melach zamis. I find it hard to imagine. But okay, people might be shadi lefume. Someone might throw it into their mouth, take a nibble because they're hungry. So they just take a small amount. You can't take too much of it, and you put it in your mouth. My question, Michael.
Well, where did you say that was?
Zamis.
Yeah.
It's the fat on the top of the soup, perhaps,
or
brine.
Which
would
yeah, really
two different approaches. But
would taste really good.
You might take a little taste. So aval kimcha disare. Go ahead. So again, Salka Dei Tchamiach Mezamis Avinish Tishar Defume. Aval Kimcha Desare. Go ahead.
Aval Kimcha Desare Hovio Vekasha.
Lekukiani.
Lekukiani. Lo Levar Elei Eklav.
He's running for president.
Kamash Malan.
Okay.
Oh.
So anyway, that was not a political statement. It was just a comment about it rhymes. That's all. I would have thought that it's bad for the stomach worms.
Oh, yeah.
So, you don't make a brach at all. So, kamash malan, what's the kamash malan? In other words, it's in a larger sense harmful, even though you might have your particular enjoyment of achila.
In a larger sense harmful.
So, kamash malan, kevan.
Kevan de eat lehana'a, ne bai brucha.
Right. Okay.
Why
yes.
Do you think that there are many things that Gemara brings later on that are like kol yafel shnayim kashul v'mayim. You know you make a bracha on that. And this is yafel this with kashul this. Why would you?
Because those are things that people normally eat.
Yeah, but we already rejected the notion that we won't make a bracha just because sorum is not kol.
No, but how do you know we rejected that notion?
Well,
the Gemara's rejecting it right here.
Okay, the kalash.
That's exactly what the Gemara is teaching us.
No, I understand, but obviously people did eat sorum even though it was a machal behemah.
Right. No, I just gave that lamashal. The point is, sorum themselves were not typically eaten by people. So kemcha disare, even less so. Right, so you would have a meaning that maybe that's mamish not bachlal machal anymore. So kamash mullah, no. Kevin islahen amine by bruche. Okay, fine. Alright, so I think we have to talk about on Sunday, which I think Sunday we're still going to do Gemara. Tomorrow we do Halacha. We will pick up where we left off, which I think we finished. Did we finish Kuf Samach Aleph or no? We didn't finish. No, I had to cut it short for something. What's that?
Yeah,
that's what I write. So I'm going to finish up Kuf Samach, start Kuf Samach Beis, and I'm going to try to get moving a little bit and sort of pick up, you know, more in the Ikar and leave aside the Tafel in terms of the Halacha. And on Sunday, we'll resume with the Rishonim, really Rabbeinu Yonah, and the Deus of Rishonim, how to read. We assume Kimcha Desare was wheat flour, but there's a Machlokas Rishonim about what it is, and maybe everybody agrees. It's a case where everybody may agree on the din, and they're only arguing what the Gemara is talking about, perhaps. So, to be continued there. Okay.
Ikar and Tafel.